Well, we have one segment remaining. I've met a lot of mothers in my life, but I've never met anybody that has done the job or the task of mothering or being a parent better than our next speaker. I'm going to get more emotional to see it. When I think of the qualities that she has, I mean, she has such a remarkable blend of the toughness that is needed to uphold the integrity of the word, and yet the tenderness to forgive and to keep giving, the resilience to get hurt, to get frustrated, to go to God and then come back the next 10 minutes later and do it again, or the next day and do it again. The joy and the enthusiasm to put in so many tasks and just make life seem like it's fun and amazing. I mean, all those in one person. And there's many other qualities. I mean, I could go on and on. She probably would like me to go on and on. But, you know, I think a lot of that stems really from her attitude, because from the time I met her, this idea of parenting was never like a hobby or an interest or a part-time thing. For her, it was a passion. It was a calling. It was a dream come true. And so she's going to be sharing a little bit about that kind of attitude with you. So if you kindly welcome my lovely wife, Kimberly.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Take your Bibles and go to Romans 8:16, please. I'm going to be sharing on maintaining a spiritual perspective. So while you settle in, I just want to read a couple things to you. There are seven church epistles that are addressed specifically to us. Romans 1:7b says, "Grace, which is undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." And every single church epistle starts that way. So what is God telling us? Well, the husband, the father, is the head of the household. There should be no question that God is our Father. Every church epistle tells us that. God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And how does he run his house? Grace and peace. Undeserved, unmerited favor. That's why we're all here. None of us would be here without that, right? So I'm going to be sharing on maintaining a spiritual perspective, which implies that, first of all, you have to have one, right? So what is a spiritual perspective? Jesus Christ said, "The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So it's the word. That's the spiritual perspective. And no matter what you do in life or have, you have to maintain it. Maybe you get a brand new car. How long is it brand new? Not that long, right? You have to maintain it. You have to put oil in it. You get married, you have to maintain that. So you have to maintain everything. So let's look at Romans 8. My husband has a confused look. Have I confused everyone already? So, Romans 8:16. "The Spirit," that's God itself, "bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." We can prove every single time that we speak in tongues that we are God's children. So when you doubt it, just speak in tongues. We never have to doubt who we are or what we have. As God's children, we have that ability. We have Holy Spirit. We are always in the presence of God. We always have that. What God has done making us his children should always take precedent over what we do as a parent. We are always going to be God's child. Do you know that's the only relationship that will never change? You may be single, then you'll be married, be a parent, not be a parent, but it's seed. You will always and forevermore in eternity be God's child. So 1 John chapter 3, please. And this is really the foundation of anything that we do in life, whether we're a parent or not a parent. The foundation always is our relationship as God's child. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. " Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, right now. And I'd like to read this to you from the Amplified Version. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know, recognize, or acknowledge us is that it does not know, recognize, or acknowledge him. Beloved, we are, even here and now, God's children. Isn't that awesome? That is who we are. That's what we do. God wants us to behold. He wants us to take a look at. We need to pay attention to being God's child. We need to appreciate that. We need to keep it, and that'll keep our lives in proper perspective. It'll really help us. The more we enjoy being God's child, the more we're going to be enjoy parenting our own children. And being a child is fun, isn't it? Let's look at 1 Timothy. That's what I love about children. They keep you young. They're just so much fun. Every moment is new, almost every moment. Some seem to last a little longer than others. But even my son Joey, he'd cry in bed, and my heart would break, you know, and I'm like, oh, he'll hate me in the morning. And in the morning, he's like, hi. And, you know, it was new. They put off those things. Things are new to them. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. It's taking heed to the word. And that meditate is that you take care so you can perform the act. We take care to meditate, to think on the word, so we can perform it, so we can do it. And we take heed. That taking heed, it's to turn one's mind or attention to. And often, as Kirstie shared with children, you have to get their attention, right? And often, we just have to turn our mind. And sometimes it's just the slightest little turn. You know, it's not always 180 degrees. And in parenting, you don't have time, like when you're not a parent, or to just sit and read the word for an hour every day. You don't. That's a luxury when you have children, you know? But whatever time you do, you take. If you only have 10 minutes in God's word, you make that the best 10 minutes you got. And you know what? God knows you have 10 minutes. God knows how much time you have. So just say, all right, God, I got 10 minutes. What can you teach me? What can you show me? Because God knows what you need to know that day. I mean, day after day, I could tell you. And I chuckle. Even now, it's like, all right, God, I'm sorry. I only got 10 minutes. Let's go. And he always, always, because he's a faithful father, he's a gracious father, he's a good father. And we need to take time to build that relationship. So that's the first, always the foundation. Just take time to really build that. And sometimes that means that the children are going to have to entertain themselves. It means they're going to have to play. They're going to have to take that time so that you have time. And remember what Kirstie said? The first thing is you teach them respect, right? They should see you reading the word. They should know. How will they know the word's the most important thing to you if your Bible's always closing under the bed? You know, or you only read it when they're in bed? They're not going to know. So just always put the word first. Matthew 10, 37. It is the very foundation of our lives. It's the joy. It's the rejoicing of our heart. Matthew 10:37. It's good for our children. In fact, my son, his middle name is Wesley, my youngest son. And the reason his name is what middle name is Wesley is because when I was pregnant with Christina, I read a book by Suzanne Wesley, who's the mother of John and Charles, who started the Lutheran Church. But the reason I loved her so much was she had 19 children. Fish for One is just like amazing. She took an hour every single day out of her life, and she taught her children that this is my hour with God. The only way that you interrupt me during this hour is if there is an emergency. To me, that's a woman to respect. So, Matthew chapter 10. This is Jesus Christ. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Our children should not come first. That is not easy in practicality. But in our hearts, God has got to come first. Because if we don't have God first, then our families are not built upon the Lord, are they? Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. But our children, that doesn't mean you can ignore them. That means you have to figure it out, how to keep God first. Let's look at Matthew 13. This is the sower and the seed, the record of that. We all know this one very well. Matthew 13:22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The cares of the world, can you see it? It chokes you. It just chokes you. How much care does it take to take care of a child? And you know what? If you're not a parent, you have seen a parent. Do they always look fresh and ready to go? No. You know, kids eat more than once a day. Do you know they eat more than 3 times a day? Why, most kids eat 3 meals and 2 snacks a day, and sometimes you get a 6 snack in there. Well, they don't, you know, like here, they're on the table. You go up and you get a little snack. Well, it doesn't work. We don't live in magic houses, you know. Our meals don't appear, right? So it, all those cares, but we cannot let the cares of taking care of our children, feeding them, clothing them, working a job to earn the money, the riches, we cannot let that choke the word out of us. We have to put God first. The next verse, verse 23 says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So we just put the word first and we're going to bear wonderful fruit. Our children will be blessed. The next thing we need to do is, yes, our children are our children, and we love them with all of our heart. I just, seeing my daughter sing tonight, and I've seen her sing probably over 100 times, but the joy of, that's my daughter. I mean, I cried. That's my baby. That's my daughter. She's singing, you know. There's that joy as a parent that you just have. It's so awesome. And we need to remember that our children are God's children. It's really awesome. Psalm 127, please. There is such joy and such delight in having children. Yes, there's labor. Yes, there's work. Yes, it's intense at times. This is that verse I was talking about, except the Lord build the house. You know, in verse 2 says, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Verse 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Parenting is a blessing from God. We get to enjoy it. As parents, we get the joy of loving and serving our children. There's joy in service, and there's a lot of service with children. We get to know God better. One of my favorite things is talking to a new father. The new mother is so exhausted. You know, you're like, great. But a new father, have you seen a new father? They're so proud. They're so amazed. They're so awed. They're just, it's just so incredible. There's something so wonderful about it. And one of the things that a lot of new fathers will tell you is, I never understood how much God loved me until I became a father. And it's true. And as parents, that's when we really get to understand God's heart. We get to see his forgiveness, his love, his kindness, his joy. And we get to extend that and his mercy. His word becomes more real to us. And we need to remember that our children are God's children. And we need to remember that God loves them more than we do. And that's hard to comprehend. I mean, because you sit and you look at your kids and you're just like, oh my gosh, you love them so much. But God loves them more than we do. Second Chronicles 16, please. But yeah, next time, look. Oh, Richard Dodd, can't you just wait for that one? That is going to be awesome. Oh, sorry, that's cool. Second Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Let's challenge our children to believe the word. It includes operating manifestations. Remember that God backs up his word. He wants our children to believe more than we want them to believe. That is God's heart for them. He'll show himself strong on their behalf. So let's encourage them to ask God, go to God, even when they're little, you know, when they lose their toy, you know, or break their crayon, or their, these needs are huge to them. You know, they're not, it's not such a big deal to us that they broke their toy. They have a whole room full, but that's important to them. So we need to make it important to us too. So teach them, show them. We don't bring the word to pass in our children's lives. That is a huge key. God brings his word to pass. And as parents, we want to bring the word to pass. But we don't. We speak the word and we're not responsible for the reaction. We speak it, we teach it, we instruct it. But it's God's responsibility to bring the word to pass. And how do we help our children? We need to have vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. So how do we build vision for our children? We'll look at a couple of examples here. I'm just going to read these to you because they're just awesome. Jesus Christ, when he went up to the temple at 12 years old, and he astounded the scholars by the depth of understanding that he reflected in his questions. Clearly, he had a passion to understand God and his calling. It's possible for young people today to have great hunger and great understanding. Luke 2, 46 and 47. Mary, she was probably 13 or 14 years old when God sent an angel to tell her God's plan of the birth for the Messiah. What was her response? Be it unto me according to thy word. It's available for young people to have that kind of reverence for God and trust in his goodness. And that's the first thing we teach our children, respect for God. That's Luke 1:38. Timothy, he was a young man when he accompanied Paul on his journeys to preach and to teach people about the Christ. Young people can handle great responsibilities if they're willing and they receive the necessary training. 1 Timothy 4:12. Samuel started serving God as soon as he was weaned, physically and emotionally. God started talking to him while he was still very young. How young? God doesn't tell us, but he was very young. And God let none of his words, the revelation that Samuel received, fall to the ground. None of them. 1 Samuel 2:18, 26, 3, and 19. And I'd like to read you something from this book, Order My Steps in Thy Word. It's in the chapter, Quickened Together with Christ. It's the section with the two men on the road to Emmaus after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was the third day, and they didn't know he had been raised. So imagine where they are emotionally. They're very confused. They're very, what's going on? What happened? And this, they're talking with this guy, and you know, he just opens up these great things to them. And in Luke 24:32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? I mean, wow. And this is what Dr. Werbel wrote. That is exactly what happens to us too when the word of God becomes known, unfolded to us. Our eyes need opening, just as the two men's were opened on the road to Emmaus. And because God has such great care and concern for us who are seeking to know more about him, he is constantly opening our eyes, illuminating our minds and hearts and broadening our vision. Isn't that beautiful? That's in page 254. And you need God to build vision for your children. It's a day by day. If you just look at the task at hand, you're exhausted, you're tired, and you're wondering, what am I doing with my life? And God will work in you, and He'll give you that vision. It's just incredible. He'll help you. So I put this on my counter to remind me every single day, because every day I need broadening and enlightenment and vision. So with that kind of vision, what can we do? We can help our children set spiritual goals. What? I mean, this is so cool. Whose idea was this anyway? God's, right? I mean, isn't it the coolest thing? We get to nurture children, women, in their bodies, and then they're born, and we get to teach them about the greatest being that's ever lived. 1 Corinthians, who's alive inside of us. It's awesome. 1 Corinthians 10. But God will help you. God does. He loves our children more than we do, and He understands where we are. He understands us, and He knows how to work with us. He's given us spirit, and He's given us His word, not because we deserve them, but because we need them. We are not normal parents. We are not like those other parents at school, at ballet, at kindergarten, at other things. We're not. We're endued with power from on high. We have answers. We have resources. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31. They do come with a book. How many times have you heard that? I wish these kids would come with a book. They do. They do. Isn't it great? And hasn't it been great having this time together? It's all there. It's all there. God made sure it was there. Okay, I'm so excited. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whether, therefore, you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory to God. Isn't that a great goal for every life and every activity? Glorify God. It separates the genuine from the counterfeit, and it lets us know when we're walking by the Spirit. The works of God will always glorify God. And part of the sin nature is we want to glorify ourselves. You know, oh, wow, I'm such a good mother. Yeah, and 1 second, and then 2 seconds later, you're the worst mother ever. Just don't, you know, you can't deal with that. But that's a great goal, and we can teach our children from a young age. That should be the goal of their life, too, to glorify God. Look at Ephesians 1. And this is a goal for my life every single day now, Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Our lives get to be to the praise of the glory of God's grace. What a great Father we have. What a great God we have. And I was thinking about this when I was a kid. It wasn't a game, but we would say, my father is so cool because my father can, you know, my father roller skates. And then the other kid would say, yeah, well, big deal. My dad fixed the bike on my chain. Oh, yeah? Wow, my dad does this. And you didn't put the other guy's father down, but you just had the greatest dad ever, and nobody had a better dad than you. And you know what? I'm like, I don't hear kids do that anymore. And it's sad. But this verse makes me think of that. Well, my Heavenly Father is the coolest God there ever was or ever will be. He's just so cool. What won't He do for us? But our lives should be to the praise of the glory of His grace, undeserved, unmerited favor. That's our God. Isn't that awesome? Matthew 5, 16. And our kids get to glorify God too. I remember many years ago now, I went to go see a mother, and we were sitting out. It was a nice day, and we were sitting, and she said to me, she goes, you know, we're sharing hearts, and it's just this real intense heart moment, and she goes, I just want to be the perfect mother. And you know what I did? I started laughing. I did. I'm sorry. I'm not always gracious. I said, honey, it's too late. You've already messed it up. But isn't that true? Where does that stupid goal come from? Disney. There's nowhere in God's word that says you be a perfect mother and that should be your life's goal. We already know we're going to blow it. We've already got a Savior, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've already blown. So that pressure's off, you guys. Don't worry about it. You're not going to be the perfect anything, wife, mother, anything. In fact, I said to Tony once, I said, oh, honey, I'm really sorry. I'm not the perfect wife. I'll try to do better. And I said, but when Christ comes back, I'll be perfect. And he goes, yeah, but you won't be my wife then. So, Matthew chapter 5 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Men are going to see your lives, and they're going to see our good works. But what should they do? Wow, you're such a great mother. No, our lives should bring glory to God. Our good works should say, wow, they should bring glory to God. Isn't that awesome? Romans 12:1. We all know this one. And isn't it great that that's what we get to do with our lives? What a great thing to do. Glorify our wonderful Heavenly Father. Romans 12:1. This summer, we were on the beach. I love sitting on the beach and... I was sitting looking this way, and then I turned to the left, and when I did, there was this bright light, and this sounds funny, but it looked like the Hope Diamond. I'm not kidding. It was just like this most magnificent light, radiant, and I looked, and I was like, what? What? And I went up, and I went to look at it. Do you know what it was? It was a piece of plastic. It was like off the top of one of those bottles, you know, a clear piece of plastic. That plastic was a piece of plastic. You know what it was? It was the sunlight reflecting off of that. It was magnificent. It was like a diamond. And that's what we can be. The excellency of the power. We can radiate the beautiful light that we have within us, the Christ within us. Isn't that awesome? It's beautiful. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We're born to live and we're born again to serve. And we have a great privilege to serve our children the word. And we not only that, we get to teach our children how to serve. Our children aren't born learning know how to serve within the body any more than we are. They have to be taught. So we need to teach them. And Tony was talking about that earlier. You know, teach them. And a great thing that you can do is if you have fellowship. One of my kids' very, very first chores within fellowship was to sit in every chair and pray. Didn't you do that? I know. Yeah, that was their job. Because you know what? They can pray, right? And it's a good activity because they sit and then they get up and they sit, you know. So maybe they're like, okay, you know, in the beginning. But it's great. But they have to be taught that. They have to be taught that heart of service. Hebrews chapter 6. There's just so many opportunities, moment after moment after moment, to serve our children and to do it right. Hebrews 6, verse 10, please. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. There are no eternal rewards for being a parent. There's not. There's eternal rewards for believing the word. And we get to, this is a great goal as a parent. We get to minister to the saints, right? And God won't forget our work and labor of love. So the work and labor of love that we have for our children should be done out from the word as believers. And we get to minister to the saints. And God will remember that. He remembers that. And it is tough parenting. It's exhausting. There's just a lot of work, a lot of time, but God will not forget that. Acts chapter 1. We really are fully equipped for this. God knew what we would need, and he gave it to us. You know, and it doesn't stop when we get born again. How ridiculous would it be for a woman to go to a hospital, go through labor, 20, 40 hours, you know, and then get up and leave. Bye, honey. Bye. Well, that's what people think when, you know, you get born again. Okay, that's it. You're done. No, God never leaves us for a second. Isn't that absurd? Mm-hmm. But that's what people think that God does or parents do. No, it's just constant. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We get to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a parent, most of that time is right there in your very own house. Isn't that awesome? You don't even have to go anywhere. We're right there. The next thing is we need to see our families as examples of the mystery and part of the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 1:10. So we've gone from us and God to seeing ourselves, right, as children of God, to seeing our children as children of God. And now we're getting into the mystery and our kids being part of the body. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Moms and dads need to be like-minded on the word, both in their responsibilities to one another and to their children. The body of believers only functions as one unit when there's strong leadership on the word and everyone follows that leadership. That's one reason God put gift ministries in the body, put overseers over the church and the home, and made fathers the heads of the household. Whenever there are two or more people, you need a leader. Children need to see their moms treat their dads as the head of the household. They also need to see the dads fully support the decisions that the moms have made when the dads aren't around. That way, they begin to understand the mystery because they see it. And what is the example of the mystery? A marriage. And so the children get to see that. So how do you, one of the things that requires is the parents talking, and you have to figure it out. You have to take time to talk and to figure out. The dad can't say something and the mom say something else, or the mom who's at home tells the kids something else and the dad says, oh no, we're gonna have cookies for dinner. You know, it's an absurd thing, but you guys, you have to, that's why it's important. You know, when you get married, there's a lot of things. You become one flesh, and you, when you have your first child, you have to figure these things out. So that you're both on the same page so that your children can see that. So you have to talk and figure it out. And then your kids, they're going to learn that you say what you mean and mean what you say, and that you're both on the same page. Tony used to tell our children, I was married to your mom before you got here, and I'm going to be with her after you leave. You know? But it's very true. And you know, I found great comfort in that, too. I did. It was very helpful. Romans 12:4. Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts or abilities differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of believing. No parent can teach their child everything that they need to know. And I was telling Christina today, her and Joey and two other people in our house are going to be doing fellow laborers in another month. And this is what I have trained my children to do. I've trained my children so that they could go on and be trained to be their best for God. You can only take them so far. We need the body. We need each other to help each other. We can't teach. We don't know everything. We need each other to add to each other's lives and to help them. It's wonderful. It's the way God showed him. And then as we do that, and you guys are really great, and how blessed and thankful we should be that there are so many believers around to add to our children's lives and that our children can add to. So we need to let our children see this great family of God. And remember that our children can give to the body too. So we have to teach them how to seek and to bless, how to serve. They do not know it. I can't stress that enough. They don't know it. The world teaches you when your child's 18, you let them go. It's way, way, way too late by then. And you don't teach them how to start serving other people when they're 17 or 18. It's too late by then. So we just have to start when they're very little, you know, like by praying or putting out a songbook or whatever it is. How it's you and God. You figure it out, whatever you want to do. Romans 15. Verse 14, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. We need to encourage others to give our children doctrine, reproof, and correction, you know, in practicality. Other people should be doing that. And we need to teach our children to focus on the message, not the messenger. It's the Word of God. The Word is the standard. Sometimes the Word is going to come from an 8-year-old kid. You have an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old playing, the Word is going to come from the 8-year-old. And sometimes, you know what? It's coming from the 4-year-olds. Because if the 4-year-olds heard it, the 4-year-olds got the Word. And we need to teach our children that the Word is the Word. If it comes from anybody, if it comes from Renee or if it comes from Jackson, it's still the Word. They need to focus on that. That's really important. Because what's the standard in our lives? The Word, right? Not everybody's opinion. Then as they grow, we need to encourage them to teach, reprove, and correct too. And they have to be taught. You know, when they first do it, they're not so kind about it. 1 Corinthians 12. You know, so we just teach them. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet one, but one body. It's one body in Christ. And it's a temptation to compare yourself as a mother to another mother, or your child to another child. In fact, they just start you out right in the very beginning with their beautiful charts. You know, they take all these kids and your child should weigh this and he should be this long. And if he's not in here, why, you're just, you know, it's a comparison. Like, I remember Joey was in the 98th percentile of weight. Oh, I'm such a good mother. You know, but he was only so much, you know, in the thing. Can we add cubits to our stature? No, we can't add them to our children's stature either. Now, those things have their place. You know, if they're not talking by the time they're 3 or 4, okay, you know, you may want to check out, but the world just has us. It's all comparison. They should be doing this. We're not to compare ourselves or our children to each other. And if you have more than one children, you will see your children are very different. And it just blows my mind. Same parents, same environment, same everything, but they're different. So we can't compare one to another. And when our children get older and they get born again, they're members of the body of Christ. And they're where God's pleased. God puts them where he's happy. It's just incredibly beautiful. And we get to be a part of this. And ask God to show you your child's strengths. And you can build on those. You know, he'll show you what their strengths are so you can build on them. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Children are just as important as any other member in the body of Christ, whether they're yours or whether they're not yours. So we need to be aware and act accordingly. And remember, if our children hurt, the body hurts. You know? And if the children are blessed, the body's blessed. You know? It's just incredibly beautiful. And the last section I want to share on is remembering that parenting is spiritual. And this sounds like the easiest one, and this is one of the most challenging. to remember. 3 John, verse 4. Children are such a joy. I just marvel sometimes at the greatness of our God. He could have done anything. He could have done anything, but we get to nurture and bear children and raise them up and see them grow, and you know, it's such a joy. 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So we get to walk in the truth. And first of all, we have truth. Don't ever, ever take that for granted. You know, we have truth. We need to remember we have God's word. Don't take that for granted. So that's God's joy that we walk in it, because that's where the deliverance is. That's where the healing is. That's where that sweet relationship with God is. So we can have that. And the first time your child speaks the word to you, oh my gosh, it's just the best. And we get to be doubly blessed because we get to, you know, walk in the truth, and then our children get to walk in the truth. It's just a beautiful thing. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We're coming down the home stretch. It's been a long day for a lot of people. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Christ in our very own homes. Often believers are very patient and kind and loving when they're trying to win people. When you're at a bar or a supermarket or when you're out in the world, you just invest all that you have so that people can have the word. And that's what we need to do for our children. We need to win them for the Lord Jesus Christ, to help them walking on the word, to speak the word to them, to serve them with prayer. It counts just as much as strangers. It doesn't matter. And isn't helping a child get born again as important as helping anybody else? Sure it is. Ephesians chapter 6. God had to teach me this when Andrew was little. Andrew was my third child. And it was a New Year's Day. We were right here in this ferry place, and it was a New Year's party. Tony wasn't here, and I had driven over with the kids, and I was so excited because I was going to be with adults, and I was going to be with believers. It was just so exciting. And on the way over, I'm driving, I'm like, God, please, could I bless somebody tonight? All right, I'm all excited. I'm ready. I'm going to just be able to bless somebody. And we get here, and you know, there's hundreds of people all over the place. It's, well, right, all right, no more than 100 back then. There's like 100 people. And there's just like, and Lily was in, and I see her on the stairs. I'm like, Lily, oh, maybe I can bless Lily. No, okay. And there was Kirstie. Oh, maybe it's Kirstie. No, okay, go on. And then we all came down here, and we're sitting, and Andrew was young. He was in my lap, and he's just crying and fidgeting, you know, and he's just like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like trying to comfort him, and it was at that moment I realized that he was the one that I got to bless. Mm-hmm. Isn't that sweet? But so often we want it to be somebody else, but it's our own child. Ephesians 6:10. Mm-hmm. And that was just a real sweet moment. Ephesians 6:10. We all know this one. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It's never a battle between you and your child. And if you have a strong-willed child, it's a battle. It's not between you and your child. It's a battle for the integrity of God's word. Remember, what is all of our basic spiritual problem? The integrity and accuracy of God's word. That's always what we're fighting for. It's not a battle of wills. It's actually, what it really is just the parent's determination to uphold the word more than the child's determination to have sin nature, to walk by sin nature. So what do? We're committed to the word more than the children are to that foolishness that's found in their heart. And God will help you. We're always fighting for God's word in our children's lives. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. It's an important component. And how do you know if it's corrupt communication? It's not ministering grace. It's very simple, isn't it? And we need to be careful what we say about our own children, because when you're with them all day and they're on your nerves and you're tired, you can say some not nice things about your kids. And you know, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaketh. So if you're complaining about your kids, you know what? Then you need to pull back and get in the Word, and you need to get with God, and you need to, you know, have God show you. And it happens to all of us, because it's a battle, it's a fight, and we're in there day in and day out, and we get weary. But God will help us. So, Romans 8:26-27. And you know what? Our kids are what the Word says they are, too. And they're going to be what the Word of God says they're going to be, right? Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Excuse me, you want to win the spiritual battle? Pray. We got the spiritual armament. Speak in tongues. And you know what? That's something you can do all the time, whether you're changing diapers, doing laundry, playing games, whatever. It's vital. It's a necessary thing that we need to do for our families, for our children, is to speak in tongues. And we can do it perfectly according to the will of God. How often do we not know what our children need? One time somebody said, what's wrong with them? I said, I don't know. I'm his mother, not his God. You know, but it's true. We don't always know. But God's given us that lever of prayer. That way we can pray according to God's will. Right? And what confidence does that give us as parents? You know, isn't that great? Ephesians 6:18. We can pray perfectly. Can you imagine? Did you ever think? You know? I never did until I got born again. Never knew it was available. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm going to read this to you. I know you guys are tired, but this is vital. And this is from Away Magazine, November, December, 1975, and it's from Our Times, and it's about speaking in tongues. This is Dr. Werwell writing. The word supplication in this verse means asking for the best. The only way it is possible to always ask God for the best is to speak in tongues, because the Spirit searches the innermost depths of the heart. God knows our need better than we know it. He knows the needs of our brothers and sisters in the body better than we can know. That is why praying in the Spirit is such a fantastic lever of prayer. We can thank God for the very best for ourselves and for others at any moment of the day or night, better than we can understand with our minds. We can pray to God perfectly so that the thoughts of our less than perfectly renewed minds cannot interfere. This is vital and dynamically real in our lives. The words watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints means that we are to speak in tongues with sleeplessness, staying at it day after day and time after time during the day. It doesn't mean we're supposed to stay awake all day and all night praying. It's talking about our spiritual walk. We persevere. We stay at it. Speaking in tongues for the outreach of God's word in the lives of his people and for the specific needs in the lives of those whom God brings to our minds. We are to watch, spiritually speaking, for ourselves and for others. And it's vital as a parent, if you want to be a good parent, that you do that much. And it's easy to do. Colossians chapter 4. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? And we get to do that for our children. How blessed are they? Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervent for you in prayers, that you may stand perfectly and complete in all the will of God, laboring fervently. Don't you just get that sweat that, you know, he's working hard? And in Colossians 1:7, it says that he's a dear fellow, a faithful minister of Christ. So, Philippians 2:17. And that's something we can do all the time when we're waiting in line, when we're toilet training, you know, all throughout the day and time. Philippians 2:17. You can speak in tongues, glorify God, give thanks well, pray for what's needed. Philippians, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your believing, your faith, believing, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the Apostle Paul, to sacrifice his life to serve the believing of others was a joy. There's joy in service. So it is with us as parents. We just keep serving our family to help them believe. Just stay at it day after day after day. Don't give up. God never, ever gives up on us. Parenting is noble and important as any calling that there is in life. And it's worth everything that we have and everything that we are. Romans chapter 8. And there is great joy in parenting. You know, it's really wonderful. So we're going to close here. Romans chapter 8. And we're fully equipped. We have all that we need. So it's been great being with you guys these last three times and seeing you and seeing your children. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whether you have a kid on every hip and one at your feet and the doorbell's ringing and the dinner's burning and just life is totally chaotic, we are still more than conquerors through him who loved us, through our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's how we get to raise our children. So just keep your head in the Word. Just that, build on that foundation, you know, and expect God to just show you great things and teach you what you need to know. So I love you guys. Thank you very much. It's been great being with you. Thank you.